congregation. The scripture reading is found in the book of Genesis. We turn now for our scripture reading to the book of Genesis, the chapter 39. We commence reading at the verse 20, and we read through to the chapter 40 and the verse 8. This is the word of God. Come now, let us hear God's word. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. And it came to pass after these things, that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning, and looked upon them. And behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, Wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, We have dreamed the dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me then, I pray you. Amen. This is God's word, and may the Lord himself be pleased to grant his own blessing to the public reading and then to the preaching of his most excellent, infallible, inerrant, and holy word, to the glory of his name. And then we ask for the blessing of our never dying souls. Dear congregation, turning once again your prayerful attention to the book of Genesis there, the chapter 39, and coming now this morning to the verse 20, and again seeking the Lord's gracious guidance and enabling. May he by his Holy Spirit humble us and teach us and apply his word to our hearts and lives, so that we may live to the honour and to the glory of our Lord, who has so mercifully and kindly and wonderfully saved us. So now, coming to the verse 20, this Lord's Day morning, in our consecutive studies of God's Word. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Now this is quite remarkable, isn't it, considering that after Joseph gave 11 years now of hard and faithful service to Potiphar, after 11 years of faithful service like no other servant had ever given him or would ever give him, Joseph is then thrown into the prison. After Joseph had been made chief over all the household, even taking care of Potiphar's finances and everything else. But Joseph, because he refused Potiphar's wife's lustful advances, he goes to prison. Life does seem very unfair at times, doesn't it? But you know, the Lord watches over his people. And everything done faithfully, the Lord will honour. Though at times life may seem very unfair. Joseph couldn't go with his master's wife's wishes because it would be a great sin against God. And faithfulness, as we saw last time, will cost us. Remember what he said? How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? That was the driving factor behind why he didn't sin. Not how dare I do this, but how could I do this? Against God, who is so kind and has been so kind to me. God who has shown me his favour. God who is God. God who I love. How can I sin against God? And how can I sin against my master, Potiphar? You see, he was a man of principle, wasn't he? He's a man who loved God and a man who loved his fellow men. And that surely is the law summed up, isn't it? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, and to love our neighbour as ourselves. But what now? Verse 20, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison. Now, Potiphar was a very powerful man, captain of the guard, head of security. He watched over Pharaoh. He was the chief of security. But you know what is interesting? While we see him to be a powerful man, he was a man that had no spine, especially when it came to his wife. Now, I do believe that he must have known what his wife was like. Surely, 11 years, Joseph working in the midst there. Surely he would not have been completely ignorant. He would have suspected something at least. At least her flirtatiousness, the way she was. And surely he's seen Joseph, a totally faithful and dedicated man. And he has even acknowledged, Potiphar, that God was with him. And yet you see how spineless, how weak this powerful man is. You know, you can be given earthly power, but you can be a spineless lackey. And a lot of men are when it comes to their wives. Spineless lackeys. He had no power, no strength when it came to his adulterous wife. She can do what she likes. She's manipulative. She's scheming. She's an adulterous woman. But here is Joseph. Joseph, who has already been wickedly and cruelly treated by his brothers. His brothers who sold him into slavery and sold him into Potiphar's house through the Ishmaelites. And now, it seems he finds himself in a worse situation. He's thrown into the dungeon, into the prison. And Joseph's master, verse 20, took him and put him into the prison. That is because his master's wife, Potiphar's wife, accused Joseph of trying to sleep with him. But of course it was the other way around, wasn't it? Completely the other way around. And so he's thrown, notice there, into the prison, a place where the kings, and that would be Pharaoh's prisoners, were bound or chained. And it says, and there he was in the prison. And then we read, but the Lord was with him. You know, the Bible has many wonderful buts, doesn't it? You can be in the darkest of places, but the Lord is with you. And you know this, if you're faithful, the Lord is with you. If you seek to honour the Lord, he will be with you. And that's what makes all the difference in life. If you can have a good conscience before God and man, like the Apostle Paul. You see, Paul knew God was with him. He knew though he was going through great trials and afflictions, he knew the Lord was with him because he was doing the Lord's will. As we read there from Isaiah 66 this morning. On this one will I look. He that has a broken heart, a poor and a broken heart, broken in spirit, and that trembleth at my word. God says, on this one will I look. You know, there are many that pay lip service to God's word, but there's no life service to God's word. And this is what makes all the difference in life, whether or not the Lord is with me, whether or not the Lord is with you. Because if the Lord is with us, he can turn the situation around. He can make light out of darkness, and he can bring light into a dark dungeon of despair. And we know Joseph was 2 years in the prison. That's quite a time, wasn't it? And the Lord brought him out. But you know, that place in the prison was meant for Joseph's spiritual progress and meant for a witness that he could witness to others in that prison. It's quite remarkable, isn't it? the Lord meant it for good. What others are going to mean for evil here, certainly Potiphar's wife, the Lord will mean it for good. Because without this trial, Joseph would not be able to interpret the dreams of the butler and the baker. Think about that. Who would be thrown in prison with him? And the Lord is going to use that to promote Joseph to that place where the Lord will have him as Prime Minister of the country. It's quite remarkable, isn't it? He's going to have these dreams. Do you remember Joseph's brothers, as they saw him approaching and as they were conspiring to kill him? Do you remember what they sneeringly said once in Genesis 37, the verse 19? They said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh." Look, mocking him. But yes, he did dream. He dreamed the dreams of God, because God spoke through those dreams to him. We read, the writer of the Hebrews tells us God spake in divers ways in times past. And he did in dreams here. But in these last days has spoken through his Son, the Lord Jesus. God doesn't speak to us anymore by dreams. But he did then. He did then. The writer of the Hebrews is telling you that. That's how God spoke to men in times past, in divers ways, in a diversity of ways, through dreams and other ways. But now he has spoken to us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are 3 points this morning as we consider Joseph in the prison. But you know, it's not so much, and it's very interesting, this passage is not so much about Joseph, although there is much about Joseph, but it's more about God. It's just that people fail to see that at first. On the surface, it seems like it is all about Joseph. And there is much to consider about Joseph. We're not going to deny that. We'll pick up on those points this morning. But it's much and by and large to do with God. The God of Joseph. And our God, who does not change. And who is as faithful today to us as he is to Joseph. May the Lord help us to learn these lessons. The first we're going to see is the Lord's faithfulness. The second is Joseph's virtuous life and demeanor in the prison and the Lord's reward of that. You see, the Lord rewards that. And then thirdly, the sovereignty of God and responsibility of man in Joseph's rescue. Although Joseph was a virtuous man, God in his sovereignty came in and he honored that virtuous life. And you know, we can live a virtuous life, but unless the Lord honors it, we'll never be blessed. So first of all, notice with me the Lord's faithfulness to Joseph. Verse 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's, and that's Pharaoh's, prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. But notice, but the Lord was with Joseph. And the first thing, brethren, we must appreciate here and recognize is it doesn't matter where we may suddenly find ourselves in our faithfulness to God. You may be faithful to God, but it doesn't matter where you find yourself. Many of God's people have found themselves at the stake. But so long as the Lord is with you, that is what makes all the difference. Stephen was there being stoned to death, but see at the end of Acts chapter 7, the Lord standing in heaven at the right hand of the Father, ready to receive Stephen. The Lord was with him. And you know, the Lord is always faithful to those that honor him. We read here, but the Lord was with him. Though he was in this dark dungeon now, the Lord was with him. We find this at the beginning of the chapter. Notice the verse 1 of the same chapter. When Joseph was sold by his brothers, he ended up in Potiphar's house. But it says there, the Lord was with Joseph. Notice, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither, and the Lord was with Joseph. And God wants to remind us that he will never, ever forsake us. The Lord is with his people. And again here the Lord is with Joseph. Why? Because the Lord does not forsake his people. He never does. In one sense, God is with him because he is with God. He is a man of God. Now, we cannot go in our own path of life and go in some sinful way, as I often hear people say, but God will be with me. I'll go to that church, I know God will be with me, when that church is an ungodly church, or that place they go to is an ungodly place. Do not expect the Lord to be with thee, dear friend. The Lord is with those who obey Him and who honour Him. And the Lord is with him here in every way. What a comfort it brings to us, doesn't it, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His love. What a glory He sheds on the way. And what does the rest of the hymn say? To those who trust and obey. And it's only to those who trust and obey. And we have that blessed assurance that the Lord is ours. How important it is, friend, to walk before God. Because you don't know where you're going to be next. You really don't know where you're going to be next. But you know, it is always best to have a clear conscience. Although you may be in a very dire strait, better to have a clear conscience before God and man, and to know that the Lord is with thee, than know that He has departed from thee. In Psalm 51, the verse 11, David, the sweet psalmist, says, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. You see, David had sinned, and this was his longing, that the Lord would be with him and not forsake him. And when we have sinned, we must confess our sins. We must pray that the Lord will continue with us. And let me say again, friend, God is only with those who fear Him and who honour Him. To fear God is to love God, and to love God is to obey God. And those that do the right thing and turn away from temptation, like Joseph did here, he turned away. The Lord was with him. You remember Moses, when the people had sinned and he had broken those two tablets, and the Lord was wroth with the people, and as was Moses. When Moses cried to the Lord, Lord, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Is that not our desire? Lord, I don't want to entertain taking on this job. I don't want to entertain going to that place. Lord, if thou art not with me. Surely that should be our greatest desire in all of life. That the Lord be with us. That felt sense of His presence. That knowledge that it's right with God. And that He is really with us. And that He is in this place. Surely that should be something that we desire above all else. Unless the Lord go with us, we go not that way. But the Lord was here because Joseph was faithful. In Deuteronomy 7, the verse 9, we read these words. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. Doesn't mean to say that at the 1,001th generation, God is not going to be faithful. But that word 1,000 really brings to our mind God is endlessly faithful. He's fully faithful to His people. Faithful to those who are faithful to Him. Notice that verse again. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is faithful, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him. There you go. With them that love Him and keep His commandments. If you don't keep God's commandments, don't expect Him to be with you. Because He cannot be faithful to sin or sinful people. He has promised to remove His presence from those that will not walk with Him. And though the world may ill-treat God's faithful people, God has said, Lo, I am with you, even to the end of the age. David again, that sweet psalmist, said, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Psalm 23 and the verse 4. So here was Joseph in the dungeon, but the Lord was with Joseph. What a consolation. Just to know God is with you. What peace. Friend, what have we got to fear? if God is with us? God who is omnipotent. God who was there with Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego in the fire. As they looked in the fire, there were four of them, not three of them. God was there. And so here is Joseph, having been accused of an awful crime. He was in the prison where the king's prisoners were bound. Now this prison, it seems, according to many commentators and what we read from the text, was adjoined or very near to Potiphar's home. Because you'll notice in the next chapter, chapter 40 here, and the verse 3, that Potiphar had charge over this prison, and this prison guard that Joseph had received much commendation from. And he put them in ward, verse 3 of chapter 40, in the house of the captain of the guard. Now who is the captain of the guard? We're told in chapter 39 that it's Potiphar. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound, and the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season inward. So what happened were, this butler and this baker, we haven't got to that yet, they'd offended Pharaoh the king. And Pharaoh had put them in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison. The captain of the guard is Potiphar. It's very interesting, isn't it? And now we can see in the providence of God why Joseph was sent to Potiphar's house. Can you see that? It's very clear. It's no mystery now why he went to a certain man's house. Potiphar, captain of the guard. The providence of God worked out. It's wonderful, isn't it? Now this prison was not for small crimes. You know, what Joseph is being accused of is something that probably got life, if not death, execution. And the butler and the baker have greatly offended Pharaoh. Now, we don't know what they offended Pharaoh in. Perhaps he suspects them of treason or something like that, we're not told. But here they are, the butler and the baker. And here for Joseph, there are only two ways out. Either by execution, or by pardon, or by clemency. As far as the crime went, however, it seems that Joseph is in for life. And this is why he says to the one, and you notice verse 14, why Joseph asks the butler, who is also, if you like, the cupbearer, to remember him on his release in order to get favour with Pharaoh, the king. Because Joseph knows this is a lifetime thing. You're not going to get out. Please remember me. 2 years have already passed. Please remember me before Pharaoh. I pray thee unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. Because he knew there was no other way. It had to be clemency, or it would be the wasting of his life and his bones in prison. Now, friends, if the Lord be with us, who can be against us? How faithful is the Lord? And you see the planning of this whole thing. Sending him to Potiphar's house to work as a servant. And adjoining that would be a prison where the Lord knew the butler and the baker would go to that prison. And they would have dreams which the Lord would put in their minds. And then God, through Joseph, by giving Joseph the interpretation of the dreams, would get him out. It's amazing, isn't it? Now, it reminds us of the Father and the Son, when the Son went to the cross. You see this great trial here. But it's all been worked out by God. But yet at the cross, we've got to think of it this way too. The cross was an act of obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. As much as it was an act of love and justice of God, it was an act of obedience. The Father sent the Son. But the Son, in his love for his people, laid down his life. But also at the cross, justice, the justice of God was being shown, wasn't it? God spared not his only Son. Not only was it an act of obedience, but it was an act of the justice of God, a demonstration of the love of God. And in that obedience, the Lord Jesus was laying down his life for his people. And although the Lord Jesus went to the grave, the Lord would not forsake him. The Lord would not leave him to rot in the grave. He shall not leave his Holy One to see corruption. because the Lord is faithful, and the Lord will not leave Joseph here, will he, to rot in the prison. In the same way here, when Joseph is suffering for righteousness' sake, the Lord will not forsake him. And it's the same for you, dear friend. God is no different to you as he is to Joseph. Blessed are ye when ye suffer for righteousness' sake, for my name's sake. Where's your reward? Your reward is in heaven. He says, greatly rejoice. Remember in Matthew chapter 5, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. It's a promise. God will not forsake his own. And something else, notice how the Lord predisposes the prison guard to favour toward Joseph. Here we're talking in the first place about God's faithfulness. Now notice the verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. The Lord showed him mercy and gave him favour in the sight of the keeper of the prison. That's something we mustn't forget. Who gave Joseph favour in the sight of the keeper of the prison? The Lord did. You know, many prison guards can be very angry toward those that have committed a certain crime, and they take it out on them. But of course here Joseph is innocent. But the Lord gave him favour, it says here. See how the Lord was with him in that sense too? And the Lord overrode things here. Just as the king's heart is in the hands of the Lord, so is the prison guard's heart in the hand of the Lord. And this is why we mustn't fear when things and all the odds are stacked against us, so to speak. Because the Lord can predispose people's hearts in favour toward us so that things aren't quite as bad as they could be. You know, the Lord is mindful of everything in our lives, friend. And those dark situations are an opportunity to witness for him. But something else, secondly, we now move to Joseph's virtuous life and gracious demeanour in the prison and the Lord's reward to that. You see, and I want to emphasise that. We have already seen that Joseph is a virtuous, a godly, upright man. But, you know, the Lord sees to it that he will reward that. And he will use that to get Joseph out. This is really precious in the text. And I hope you see it this morning. Notice the verse 22. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, verse 22, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. So he's predisposed to Joseph, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that there were in the prison. Now, the point I want to make here as we move to verse 23 is, just because the prison guard liked Joseph, Joseph didn't take advantage of that. Now hear me, it's a very important point to make. But instead, Joseph worked hard as a prisoner. Notice, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Now, does this not ring a bell? What we've read before. In the verse 22, Joseph showed, as he was given this responsibility, how faithful and trustworthy he was. Just as he was in Potiphar's house, he served Potiphar like he was the best of masters. And here, just because the prison guard likes him, he doesn't just, you know, become a couch potato and do nothing. He's a hard worker. He gives it all that he has. He gets the prison in order so that the prison guard doesn't need to even worry about anything. In fact, he's doing the prison guard's job for him. It's just like that moment. Remember when Joseph arrived in Potiphar's house? Instead of remonstrating and demonstrating against God and man, God, why have you done this? Why have you put me with these people? He honored Potiphar. And instead, when he comes into this prison, he doesn't start up a campaign against Potiphar's wife. does he? He doesn't do that. He doesn't complain against Potiphar's wife. He doesn't even mention the injustice. He just gets on with the job that is at hand. He didn't retaliate to this awful situation. He didn't get angry. He didn't start a new campaign against Mrs. Potiphar. He played the man. He worked hard with no complaining, serving. And interesting, even though Potiphar is actually over this prison and the prison guard, amazing, isn't it? Just like Potiphar handed over his finances to him and his possessions, Joseph here now is taking care of this whole prison. And it's 2 years in the prison. So faithful. You see, Joseph's virtue and faithfulness continue no matter what the circumstance was he was in, although things got worse. And that's how it is to be for us. There may be times when you think, you know, you're trying to witness to somebody and all they're doing is they're getting worse and they're becoming more angry toward you. You continue to show good and kindness. The Lord will honour that. And you see, the Lord opened up further opportunities of service, didn't he? If we are unfaithful, don't be surprised when the Lord draws back opportunities to serve him. But be faithful and the Lord will grant you greater and further opportunities to serve him. In 2 Peter 1 verse 5, Peter writes, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience." That's self-control, isn't it? "And to patience godliness." How temperate he was. Self-control, not getting angry. "And to godliness, brotherly kindness." And to brotherly kindness, charity. Now, while we commend Joseph's virtuous life and his hard work here, there are two things that mustn't go unnoticed. Notice number one, witness of God's presence. And then secondly, the Lord's blessing. Witness of God's presence. Notice the verse 23. "And the keeper of the prison looked not on anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him." That's an amazing verse. The keeper knew that there was something about Joseph. It was unmistakable that God was with him. Just like the verse 3 of chapter 39. "And his master," it says, "Potiphar saw that the Lord was with him." And again here, "The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him." There was something about Joseph that this prison guard thought, "I can even trust this man as a prisoner to watch over the prison." Amazing thing. Instead of John Bunyan, he was trusted by the prison guards and they would let him out at night and he would go and preach under trees. Sometimes he was let out to see his family. He'd come back in the morning. One time he was out and he had this overwhelming sense of unease. Word had got out that John Bunyan was preaching all around Bedford. One evening he had this sense of unease that he needed to return back to the prison, and he did. And the prison guard, when John Bunyan came back, I don't know what time in the morning it was, probably about 4 or 5 in the morning, prison guard was furious. "What are you doing back at this time in the morning? What are you supposed to get back at 6? You see, he was half asleep. John Bunyan said, I feel I need to come back. I don't know." Not long after, there was a knock on the door. And it was somebody to come and check whether John Bunyan was in the prison. "Everything all right in the prison? How's John Bunyan? Is he there? Let's go and see if John Bunyan is there." And he was there. And you know what? After that, the prison guard trusted him. Now, John Bunyan, the only reason he wanted to get out was for the glory of God. He never broke his bail. He was given permission. And that's a lesson, isn't it? Those that honour the Lord, he will honour. And I wonder if we have that. Like Joseph, living this virtuous, God-like life, so that we live in such a way that it's unmistakable to others that the Lord is with us. In 1 Peter 2:12, we read these words, "Having your conversation," that is your conduct, "honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God. The unbeliever, by seeing your good works, can sing the praises of God and say, God is with that man. God is with that woman. There's something about that person. What a virtuous life. So there's the witness, but also the Lord's blessing. Notice the end of the verse 23. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Whatever Joseph did in that prison, the Lord made it to prosper, friends. And again, you know, you can work your socks off. You can work hard, but unless the Lord makes it to prosper, it is of no value. Unless the Lord build the house, those that labor, labor in vain. You know, it's important we're awake and we listen to God's word, but the Lord has to bless his word, doesn't he? It requires the Lord's blessing. And the Lord made it to prosper. You see, so this is a lot about Joseph, but it's about the Lord. Remember what the Apostle Paul said as he wrote, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Unless the Lord gives the increase. And I want you to see that here. But you see, the Lord is not going to be with people who are not with him. If your heart and your soul are not in the things of God, don't expect God to be with you and to have that presence and that blessing of God if your heart and soul aren't in things. You know, there are many that are half-baked Christians, half asleep. Their heart is half in it. And it's little wonder that they are struggling in their Christian life. Friend, we need to give our all to God and ask him to bless it. And here is Joseph. He's like the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he is like the tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. There you go. Here is Joseph prospering. So we've seen the Lord's faithfulness. We've seen Joseph's virtuous life and gracious demeanor in the prison. And the Lord's reward of that. Now finally, notice the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man in Joseph's rescue. First of all, see the sovereign hand of rescue in sending two prominent people, namely the butler or the cupbearer and the baker. And they are actually put under Joseph's oversight. And who is it that puts these two men under that oversight? The captain of the guard, Potiphar. Is that ironic or what? The man that put him in prison, you see, because Potiphar knows really he's innocent. He knows he's a good man because he's shown himself to be a good man for 11 years. And he puts him in charge. And it came to pass after these things, verse 1, that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended the Lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers, against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in guard in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison. There, the sovereignty of God. Pharaoh put them there. That's not coincidental, friends. That's providence. And then, verse 4, and the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them. Potiphar charged Joseph with them. It's amazing, isn't it? Astounding. Not coincidence, but the providence of God. And you see how God worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And we have to trust, we have to leave things in his hand. Now, what is the significance of the cupbearer? You remember that Nehemiah was a cupbearer to King Artaxerxes. A cupbearer would taste the wine, just in case it was poisoned. He was a man that would confide with the king. He would test the food, test the wine, see if anything was poisoned. He confided in the king. He was a very close confidant of the king or Pharaoh here. He and the baker had offended the king in some way. As I said earlier, we don't know. Perhaps Pharaoh suspected them of treason. Whatever the case, Here they are in the prison now. Now, the baker would ordinarily see the meals, something more than a maitre d' would do. But evidently one is found guilty and one is killed eventually. The baker, he has a dream, and that dream comes true. Joseph interprets it, and he is cut off and he's dead. But the cupbearer, Joseph interprets his dream, and he's released. And Joseph asks the cupbearer, please remember me when you're released. But does he remember him? No. Not at all. Not at all. Verse 5, and they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream. In the one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream. The butler and the baker of the king of Egypt were bound in prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. Now, the first thing I want you to notice, there are two things. There's the sovereignty of God and there's the responsibility of man. I want you to notice, first of all, the responsibility of man. Joseph had such a gracious and loving demeanor. Here are these two men, and he sees their countenance, and he says, what does he say? Verse 7, wherefore look ye so sad today? Now here's a lesson. Joseph's not living a life of self-pity in the prison, is he? Moping. Every day. But he's concerned for other people. Here he is, wanting everybody to be of a cheerful disposition. Wanting everyone to know God. Are not dreams of God? Are not the interpretations of God? Here he is. He responded to these men in a right way. And the way that he responds to them, hear this, this is precious. If he didn't ask that question, why are you sad today? He never, never would be given the opportunity to hear about the dreams and God given the opportunity to interpret them. So the responsibility of man, you see how important it is that we do the right things in life as Christians. And God will honour that spirit. How are you today? Maybe somebody struggling with some problem at your work, and you can be a shoulder to lean on, somebody to help. And God will use that as a doorway, as a gate into their life, where you can witness to them. You see, God doesn't work through cold, callous people who are just concerned with themselves and their little bitty problems. We all have problems, friends. But when we can be like God and show love and kindness and compassion, God will be pleased to work through us in our pitiful lives. And that's how God works here. You see, Joseph, had he not been a man of the law of God, to love the law, Lord thy God, with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, and to love thy neighbour as thyself, the Lord would never have brought this opportunity his way. The Lord sends these men in. Joseph says, what's wrong? Don't be so sad. And then he starts to tell them about God. You see, that's what we need, don't we, in our lives as Christians. Remember what the Lord said? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Love all men. Have concern. And you know the Lord will use that for His glory. And the big point is this, is it not? While God is sovereign, we must play our part. We mustn't just say, oh, God is sovereign, He's going to save who He will, and then we don't go out and we don't speak to people. That is laziness disguised, friends. It's wickedness disguised. And you know, we know this, Joseph interprets the dreams, they come true. But here's something else before we close. the butler or the cupbearer, while his life is spared and the baker isn't, the cupbearer does not remember Joseph. But the Lord does. And the Lord then begins to put dreams, read the next passage, into the mind of Mr. Pharaoh. And as he does, you see, the Lord remembered Joseph. Cursed is the man that trusteth in man. But what does the Lord say? Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, yes, even Joseph, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. The Lord will not forget his people. And you know, that's it. Wherever we are in life, the Lord will not forget you. But you better make sure, number one, you are the Lord's. And how do you know whether you are the Lord's? You love him. You love him because he first loved you. And because he died on the cross for you. You see, our love comes from his love. That's where it comes from. By nature, we have no love to God. If a man says, I've always loved God, I've said this before, the man is an outright liar. We love God because he first loved us. And that is what moves us and motivates us in the Christian life. And you know, God is so faithful to his people. And so kind. And he never forsakes his people. I will not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee on the palms of my hands. So Joseph is in full trust. Despite the failings of man, he has confidence in God. Is that where our hope is? You know, even the Son of God, being God himself, said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And the Father could not leave him to decay in the grave. And so we too can trust our lives into the hands of the living God. If the Lord go not with us, friends, we must go nowhere. Let us follow him and obey him all the days of our life. Let us learn to emulate Joseph's faithfulness, which was amazing despite his dire circumstances. And let me tell you something else. The most glamorous jobs, like the butler and the baker, are not the best jobs. Joseph had the best job, working for his master, the Lord. And no matter where the Lord puts us, we are called to be faithful. And God has the supreme power over every man. You know, the Lord never had to ask permission of Pharaoh, the butler, or the baker to put those dreams there. God did it. Never said, now, Mr. Baker, I'd like your permission, or to the butler, or to Pharaoh. But God is sovereign over all things, in whom we trust. Amen. We close with hymn number 676, A Sovereign Protector I Have.